Five times Clive makes an assumption, and one time he just had no clue what was going on. By Lady Ragnell, read by Night Tracer, Fandom, iZombie. 1. Something changes with Ravi and his new assistant a few months after she comes to work in the morgue. Clive noticed Olivia Moore the first time he met her, in for a cause of death on a routine homicide. She was pale and underslept, and looked like maybe she was a hacker in a 90s movie, all hidden in dark clothes. Ravi was friendly, but they didn't talk much. And then Clive comes into the morgue one day, and they've got a secret. Ravi is watching Olivia, Liv, pretty close, and she's looking kind of shocked, kind of happy. If they're dating, that's not Clive's business. It's probably against police policy, but Clive doesn't tattle on his co-workers, and they're in the ME's office. It's not like they do much work that would put them in danger. Of course, then Liv turns out to be some kind of psychic, and Clive thinks maybe that's the secret. But she and Ravi are still dancing around something with him. It bothers his detective instincts, knowing they're lying, but he wouldn't want someone to know if he was dating someone he worked with either. "You and Ravi, you're pretty good friends, right?" Clive asks on the drive back to the precinct sometime on the second or third case they worked together. She lights up with a smile. Unless she's in one of her weird moods, it's hard to get a smile out of Liv. "Ravi's great. He's great. He's a great boss. Great scientist. He's really, really great."
"That answers that question."
"Well, I'm glad you two have got each other then."
2.
Liv acts weird whenever she's on a case. She acts weird all the time, really, but Clive notices the way she sometimes fits a little too well with the victim's friends and family, with their surroundings.
"It's a psychic thing, isn't it?" he asked Ravi one time when Liv has excused herself on some errand or another, and Ravi is cleaning up after sewing up the body.
"What? Oh, psychic. What's a psychic thing?"
Clive rolls his eyes. Every time he mentions it, they act like he's just been told the secret all over again. He still hasn't even managed to get them to admit that they're dating. Sometimes they'll talk about someone named Major, and there was the British guy who came around a few times, and they're cagey about all of it, but they're especially cagey about the dating.
"The way she acts so different all the time. Unless she's some kind of community theatre method actress or something."
"Right. Wow. Why didn't I think of putting it that way?" Ravi asks.
"She's not an actress. This week, anyway. Call me when Judi Dench gets murdered, and then we'll see." Clive takes a second to think that through.
"You think about channeling an actress, and you go right for Judi Dench?"
"What can I say? I really love As Time Goes By."
"Sometimes it's probably best not to ask questions he doesn't want the answers to."
3.
Liv has always been kind of quiet, kind of lost. Ravi makes her a little less that way, and sometimes she gets weird, but that's the psychic thing. That's not her. And Clive doesn't like to think about it much. Liv losing herself, finding all these murderers, even if she usually finds her way back to center. Clive is pretty sure it starts the night she kills someone. But it all seems to go to shit pretty fast from there. He's investigating the explosion at Meet Cute, and Major is on his list of suspects. But he notices that Liv's brother got caught in the explosion, but she's not with her family much. And then she stops talking about her roommate, stops ever being too busy to go out on a call with him, just stops.
"The department," he says, when a month has gone by, and Ravi looks worried about her, and there's no sign of it letting up. Even her weird psychic moments are muted.
"There are a few psychologists on staff. I know you've had a tough time, and Ravi wouldn't have signed you back to work unless you both thought you were ready, but in case you need someone to talk to sometime."
That gets him a half smile.
"What, you aren't offering yourself?"
"I'm your friend, and I help you out, but if Ravi isn't helping, I'm probably not going to do much better. I know the number of a good one, department approved. Doesn't make you feel that she's picking your brain."
Liv laughs all the way through the next stoplight, for no reason he can figure out, and then sobers up fast.
"Probably a psychic thing, then."
"That's really sweet, Clive. Thanks.
I don't know if I'm going to, but it means a lot."
Clive nods a little awkward. Any time. No judgment. 4. Liv shows up on his doorstep. How the hell she knows where he lives, he doesn't know. With her clothes ripped and a wild look in her eyes, and Clive reaches behind him for his coat before she can even get two words out. She's had some kind of vision, probably a bad one if she looks this bad, or she's on Vaughn Duclark's shit list again. Clive is pretty sure. Maybe both. No, she says when he starts walking out of his apartment, already getting out his phone to call for backup. No, I think I need to come in and talk to you first, because I need you, and Ravi's in trouble. Everyone is in trouble. And you need to know a few things. She takes a deep breath. A lot of things. Clive listens. It doesn't make any more sense than the psychic visions, but he doesn't really have time to worry about that right now. Not if what she's saying is true. And the heartbeat is pretty compelling testimony. 5. Things are weird with all of them after that night. After Major and Blaine and every loose thread in every case Clive has worked for the last year. And they're weirder with Liv and Ravi. It takes Clive a while to go down to the morgue again, now that he can't stop thinking about what it is Liv is eating down there. But when he goes, they're weird. Quiet. Clive figures it has something to do with how it all went down that night. How maybe it was a little much for them. It takes about a month before he walks into the morgue and finds them making out against the wall. Liv on her tiptoes with her arm around Ravi's neck, and Ravi, well. Oh my god, says Liv when Clive clears his throat and they're about 5 feet apart. And Ravi is giving Liv an offended look, since she's extra strong and she can push him pretty far. Clive, I'm so sorry. He puts his hands up. I don't want to know. I figured that you two were making up after everything that went down last month. I just don't want to see it right now. I do want to hear about the cause of death and Alexis Vic, though. We aren't. We were. We didn't. Ravi splutters out into silence. Liv, you take this one. You don't have enough blood flow to blush. Clive has to keep a hold on his smile the whole time he's getting briefed. Things are tough for them, probably tougher now than before, even if it mostly seems to be over. And Ravi mentioned looking for a cure in their one awkward conversation about it. But he's glad they've got each other anyway. It feels a little weird calling Liv away when he interrupted things, but they don't seem to mind. Plus one. Am I interrupting date night? Clive asks when he shows up at Ravi's place to find candles on the table and Liv wandering around in a nice dress, looking for something to get the cork out of a bottle of wine. Why would you be interrupting? Says Ravi. We're the ones who invited you. I made curry. You know Liv likes things spicy and she can add her own garnish if you don't mind. Clive is still getting used to the thought of her eating brains, but for once it isn't the first thing on his mind. I figured this was just beer and movies with co-workers, he says slow and holds up the six-pack he brought to prove it. Ravi beams at him. Excellent. I am entirely certain you have better taste in beer than I do in wine. We figured we owe you a nice dinner after everything. Liv makes a triumphant noise and gets the cork out of the wine. A very nice woman who died of natural causes showed up in the morgue, so I shouldn't even get weird tonight. Pretty sure you just made it weird, says Ravi, and goes back to smiling at Clive. Come on in, though. This is honestly not as fancy as it looks. We just figured we should make an effort for you. Clive looks back and forth between them. They don't look shifty, but he has a pretty healthy regard for their lying skills at this point. You aren't going to tell me you're a vampire, are you? He asks Ravi just to check. Liv laughs. That would be hilarious, but no. Come on, sit down. We can put a movie in after dinner. Seems like these two were always planning to surprise him. At least this time it's in a good way. As long as I get dessert too, he says, and goes with it. The end. Thank you for listening.